Today's presenter is Vivek Grover. Vivek is a WebSphere Message Broker Level 2 Support Software Engineer for WebSphere Message Broker. His responsibilities include troubleshooting customers, real-time problems, worldwide, and providing resolution. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Vivek.
Thank you, Elijah. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Tech Exchange webcast on implementing SSL with HTTP nodes in the WebSphere Message Broker version 6 and 6.1. I see quite a few familiar names on the tab here. Appreciate you all joining the session. Starting with slide number 2 here, we will start the session with some SSL basics, some HTTP basics, and we will also look at the different HTTP nodes that are shipped with the product, including HTTP request node, HTTP input, and HTTP reply nodes. Then we will talk about some HTTPS basics. We'll discuss some of the certificate management tools that are that you can use to manage the key stores and certificates. We will also be looking at the configuration of these HTTP nodes for SSL and then some troubleshooting tips. Moving to slide number 3, please. So we know the SSL, or Secure Sockets Layer, is a protocol developed by Netscape to manage the security of message transmission across the web. Through SSL, one can create a secure connection between a client and a server over which the data or any amount of data can be propagated securely. Some of the useful terms, just to refresh your memory, are listed here. Key store, which is a file or a database that stores the keys and the certificates. CSearch, the KSearch, is one of the examples, which is the broker default key store or trust store, to be precise. It's located under message broker install/JRE-lib-security directory. Then there's digital certificates that contains the public key and the owner's information or certificate authority's information. It's basically binding the key to the owner and providing security against impersonation. We also have cipher suites, which is a set of algorithms providing means of encryption, hash or message authentication code, also called MAC, and key exchanges. One of the examples listed here is Dash Export. Moving to slide number 4, please. This picture basically outlines the steps involved in SSL handshake. I just thought it would be necessary since we're going to talk about HTTPS. So some of the, in this picture we see there's an SSL client and an SSL server. Between these two components, the SSL handshake needs to be established. So starting with step number 1, the SSL client first sends a client hello message, which lists some cryptographic information, some cipher suites that are supported by the client. The message also contains a random byte string that is used in subsequent computations. In step number 2, the SSL server then responds with a server hello message that contains the cipher suites chosen by the server from the list that was provided by the SSL client in the first step. The session ID and another random byte string. The SSL server also sends its digital certificate at this time. If the server requires a digital certificate for client authentication, then server sends a client certificate request in second step as well. So in step number 3, this SSL client now verifies the digital signature on the client on the server's digital certificate with its public key and then checks that the cipher suite chosen by the server is acceptable. So it's authenticating, it's basically validating the certificate that it's received from the server. Moving to step number 4, the SSL client at this point sends another random byte string, which enables both the client and the server to compute the secret key to be used for encrypting the subsequent message data. And this random byte string itself is encrypted with the server's public key. If the SSL server sent a client certificate request in step number two, then the SSL client sends a random byte string encrypted with the client's private key together with the client's digital certificate. Then in step number six here, the SSL server verifies the signature on the client certificate, and now the certificates have been exchanged by both the parties. Client certificate has been sent to the server if it was needed, if the server had been configured to do so, and the certificates have been validated. So once they're validated, starting with step number seven, the SSL client then sends the SSL server a finish message, which is now encrypted with the secret key that they have computed based on the random byte data which was exchanged in the previous steps. So it indicates that the client part of the handshake is complete. At this time, in step number eight, the SSL server also sends the SSL client a finished message, which is also encrypted with the same secret key, indicating that the server part of the handshake is complete too. So from step number nine onwards, for the duration of this SSL session, the SSL server and the SSL client will now exchange messages that are symmetrically encrypted with the shared secret key. One thing that is to be remembered is that the client and server, they use asymmetric encryption techniques, that is, different keys, to generate the shared secret key, but later, as they continue to exchange data between each other, they use a shared secret key for the symmetric encryption of messages. Moving to foil number five, please. So that covered the SSL handshake, and starting with this slide, we'll cover some HTTP basics. So as you know, the HTTP stands for Hypertext Transfer Protocol, is a communications protocol used to transfer information on the Internet. Some of the useful questions pertaining to HTTP with respect to broker, what is a web service? It's a standard way to allow functions or methods to be invoked using HTTP. It is used for program-to-program interactions and uses standards like XML, SOAP, WSDL, and UDDI over an Internet backbone. So with that said, how does message broker fit in? Well, several ways, actually. Broker can act as a convenient midpoint between the service exchanges for doing web services brokering, for example, like doing transformation on WSDL definitions or acting as a SOAP intermediary. A message flow can act as a service requester or a client, an SSL client that calls out to a web service using HTTP request node. A message flow can also be a service provider, which lets the other independent web service clients to invoke itself or other flows, in which case it would use the HTTP input node, HTTP reply node, and it may or may not use HTTP request node. Moving to slide number six, please. So consider a case where a message flow needs to request for a service, a web service, and an HTTP request node would then serve as a gateway from the message flow to the broker network and would be able to invoke any web service within the network. It would send the request to the web service provider and would receive responses from it and would receive the web service, the service endpoints or the service itself. Going to the next slide. Here we are considering a scenario where another independent client is requesting a service from the broker. You would then use HTTP input node and HTTP reply nodes, as mentioned earlier. And we have broker HTTP listener, BIP HTTP listener process, which is an inbuilt Tomcat servlet that will act as an intermediary process, doing all the work for the broker in this case. So it will receive a request from the client, and it will send it to the message flow, which has the HTTP input node, which will then feed the request further into the message flow, and then HTTP reply node can then send a response back to the requesting client, again through the same HTTP, BIP HTTP listener process. So that is how the communication with the service requester would go through the HTTP listener process. Moving to next slide, number 8. So now we'll put together what we've discussed so far, HTTP and SSL. So that forms HTTPS. It is the HTTP over SSL, or you can call SSL over HTTP, and is used for secure messaging over HTTP. So as I mentioned earlier in the HTTP section, this also uses the internal Tomcat server in case the broker is acting as a web service provider. There are some external support packs that can also be used in place of internal server. It relies on the JSSE code, the Java Secure Socket Extension code in the JVM that is going to be used by the broker. The users must use HTTP 1.1 for SSL. It uses port number 7083 by default for the listener, for the BIP HTTP listener. The default key store, again, or the trust store, is the CS search, which holds the root CS certificates, and it is located under JRE Lib Security Directory. This is under the broker install directory. Going to slide number 9, please. This file discusses the certificate management tools that are shipped with the broker that enables the users to administer their public keys and private keys and the associated certificates used in SSL. KeyTool and iKeyMan are two widely used tools provided with Message Broker, IBM JRE. So both are located in the JRE bin directory. Now, if you're using JRE 142 or JRE 15, if you are using version 6, then both JREs are shipped with version 6 broker. With version 6.1, you ship with version JRE 15. But their respective JRE bin directory would hold both KeyTool and iKeyMan files. The KeyTool is a command line tool, whereas iKeyMan is a GUI-based tool. So if you were going to use this on Unixes, you would require X Windows to be set up. Going to foil number 10. So here we discuss the configuration scenario where broker is acting as a requester using HTTP request node, and only the server authentication is required. You can have have mutual authentication. That means both client and server needs to authenticate, or the default authentication is the server authentication. This means that the receiver of the request, which is the server, will present the certificates to the broker. Broker is the client and is a requester in this case, and the broker will validate them with the signer certificate stored in the CS search file, which is the default trust store of the broker. The server authentication is the default SSL authentication in any SSL client server scenario. So if client needs to authenticate the server, only the client will authenticate the server in this case, and that would be all. That's all. And so the client key store, which is the broker key store, needs to have the signer certificate of the server. With ktool, you can actually run this command. Commands listed here, ktool minus import minus alias my key minus file in the name of the certificate file minus key store and the name of the key store file minus the key pass, which is the password for the CS search. The alias is my key in this case, which means that the certificate that will be imported from the file as the dash with the dash that you're supplying with the dash file argument in this command, the certificate will be imported from that file into this key store CS search, and within the key store it will appear as my key. That is the alias of the certificate. The broker would use the password called changeit. Now changeit in version 6 is the default password and cannot be changed, but in version 6.1 it can be changed, and there are ways you can change it. We'll discuss that in the coming foils. But for CS search in version 6, changeit is, as well as version 6.1, changeit is the default password. And the alias being the name that the certificate will show in the key store. So moving to slide number 11. Now this shows the same thing using the tool IKeyMan. So when you bring up IKeyMan on let's say if you bring it up on Windows, it'll be IKeyMan.exe, and if you start it, it'll show you a nice GUI. And you can click on open the key store as you can see in the foil screenshot here. So you can click on open the key store and browse to the CS search, the key search file, which is located under JRE bin directory, JRE lib security directory. And if you, let's go to next foil number 12. So if you open it, it will then show you what's in there. There are some root signer certificates which are already there in the CS search file. And here you would add, you can just click on add, at which time it will pop up a window that you can, you can browse to the certificate file and will select the file. We'll see that in the next foil. But in this screenshot, this is a follow-up slide from the follow-up screenshot from the previous foil. It will give you the list of the certificate and the signer's certificate tab, which is listed under key database content. You would go here and then you would need to import or add the certificate. And let's go to slide number next slide number 13. So as you click on add, it will pop up the window where you can browse through the certificate that you have received from the server end. And when you browse to that file, in this case it's cert.arm, and then you click open, you select the certificate, click open, and this will add the certificate cert.arm as into your key store CS search file. Now that's pretty much it, because if you're doing the server authentication, then the client's just needing this particular certificate. Once it's added to CS search, broker's already pointing to the CS search, already looking in there with the password changeit, and will be able to validate the certificate during the SSO handshake. Let's go to slide number 14. So if we have a message flow with HTTP request node, and now you want to configure it for mutual authentication. Remember earlier we did the server authentication, now we'll do the mutual authentication. This means the broker, which is the receiver in this end, and the sender of requests need to present their certificates to each other. So both the SSL client and the SSL server will present their certificates to each other, and each end will validate them using the local copies of the signer certificate. So here we have to create a key store file, create a self-signed certificate, which is to be given to the server, and the server certificates that are required to be imported into the CSR just like before. So again, if we use the key to command, you can run this command that will create the key store with your personal certificate. Once you run this command, it will ask you your details for the certificate, and we can provide those. But when you run the command key to genkey, that's generating the key database, a key store, and then you specify the password for it, so minus key store in the file name, and then you minus alias. Again, the alias would be the self-signed certificate that is. So you can create the certificate, you can create key store, specify the password, all in one command, and this will create the key store with the password with the self-signed certificate. Then all you have to do is take the certificate out, extract the certificate out from here, and give it to the server, and so the server can put it in its key store, and then it will be able to validate the certificate when it receives it from the client during the SSL handshake. Then the other thing is the server key store. The server key store will contain the certificate, but then the server will also have to present its certificate to the client, which is the broker, and broker needs to have it imported into the KCERT or the CSERT file, as we discussed in the previous foils. So if we go to slide number 15. In the previous slide, we see that we created the key store with the self-signed certificate, and we provided it to the server. But remember, broker is only pointing to the CSERT trust store. Broker needs to know that this is the key store that it needs to, which contains the self-signed certificate that it will be providing to the server during the SSL handshake. Now, in version 6, it will know that with the help of this environment variable that you would set, as you can see in this foil, this is IBM Java options equals djavax.net.ssl.keystore equals the location of the key store and the file, the actual file name. So if you were to use key1.jks, let's say, for example, you would point IBM Java options to -djavax.net.ssl.keystore equals the location of key1.jks /key1.jks. So the file name should be there. And then the password, now remember, broker is pointing to this key store. It should also be able to get into the file, locate the self-signed certificate. So it will need the password in order to do that, and you can provide that in the same environment variable, -djavax.net.ssl.keystore password equals actual password. You remember, it's an environment variable, so you'll have to stop and start the broker. The environment variable needs to be exported in broker service ID's profile. So when the broker is restarted, it will pick it up. It will pick up this change. Going to slide number 16. Now, earlier we discussed how it's done in version 6. In version 6.1, we do the same thing, basically pointing the broker to this key store from where it will extract the certificate to be presented to the server. But in version 6.1, we provided a way to do that rather than exporting environment variables. So you don't need to set any environment variables in 6.1. You can just run mqsi change properties command to associate the broker with this key store. The mqsi change properties broker name -o broker registry -n broker key store file, and then the -v, and then the fully qualified name, which includes all the directory structure wherever the file is located. So again, we had earlier, we know we set the file name as well as the password. So the broker needs to know the password, and the password has to be set using mqsi setdbparms command with the -n broker key store password option, and the minus U with the user ID and minus P the password. Now remember, broker just needs the password. Broker doesn't need the user ID. User ID can be of any value. I just put temp here, but you can actually put any value. It won't care. Broker only needs the password. Again, after you set these options, you will have to stop and recycle the broker, so that broker will pick up this change. Going to slide 17. Now, this foil discusses, again, the steps that we just performed using key tools, but here we use the IBM GUI, the IKEMAN GUI tool. So, again, we create a new key store file here, just like we did that with Gen Key option in the key tool in the previous foil. So you would click on the option create new key store file, and it will pop up the window where you can provide the name of the file and the location where you want it to be created. Again, only JKS types are supported and by the broker, so make sure you create a .jks file, the Java key store, and go to slide number 18. In this foil now here, it will ask you the different options when it's creating the certificate. So if you're creating a new self-signed certificate, it will ask you all these options. You can give a key label, which is the name, which is the label on the certificate. There's some optional parameters. There's some required parameters. Required parameters, as you can see, is only key label and the common name and organization. The others are optional. You can provide them, but anyway, this is for a self-signed certificate. You can also, you may not be creating a self-signed certificate in your environment. You may be receiving CA certificates directly from the certificate authority, in which case you will just be importing them. But anyway, here you will, if you are creating a self-signed certificate, then this is what you would do, and you would provide all these options using IKEMAN tool. And when you click OK on that, it will create the certificate. You already have your key store created, and it will place the certificate in there. Going to slide number 19. So now we have done the configuration from broker standpoint. We pointed the broker to the key store. We set the password using setDB forms or using the environment variable. But we also need to configure the HTTP request node that you will be using in the message flow. So you would configure as per the steps listed here. There's in the HTTP request node properties, you would look at you would go to the SSL tab, and then there's a protocol a selection. The choices are SSL, which is try SSL version 3 first, and it allows fallback to SSL version 2, or the option is SSL v3, try only SSL v3 then, and then there's the transport layer security, try TLS only. The other option is allowed SSL ciphers. Default is empty, and which means all the broker JVM supported ciphers. So which means that when broker being a client is presenting its the cipher suites as we discussed in the SSL handshake foil, it will present all these cipher suites to the server, and server, you know, whatever server end is supporting, they can pick one or two. They can select one and tell the broker during the SSL handshake process. So then it will, during the SSL handshake, they will be using that particular cipher suite. But you can certainly specify one or more ciphers. You don't have to leave it empty. If you know what server end requires, you can provide them. And that's pretty much it. That's all you need to configure in the HTTP request node properties, and then you would configure, make sure when you look at the bar file after you assign this flow into, if you add it to the bar file, make sure the protocol, URL, ciphers, all these values that you just set in the HTTP request node they are pointing to the right parameter values. Going to slide number 20. So far we've discussed the configuration when broker was acting as a client in the SSL, and now we will talk about SSL configuration where broker is acting as a server. So then we will be using HTTP input node and HTTP reply node. And this foil talks about the default server authentication. Again, the default server authentication that takes place during the SSL handshake. In this case, the BIP HTTP listener process, again, recall what we discussed earlier with broker acting as a service provider, it will be using BIP HTTP listener process. And that process needs to be configured since this is the process that will be used to receive the HTTP request on behalf of the HTTP input node flow and also the responses generated by the HTTP reply node. So here we need to create a key store for the broker, create a certificate, and configure the listener to point to this key store. The steps would be as listed here using the key tool. Again, we see the key tool, dash gen key, the dash key pass, the password, the name of the key store, and the alias and the self-signed certificate. So this is pretty much the repetition of what we did earlier. We created a key store file, assigned the password to it, and we created a self-signed certificate in there. Once we've created now, we need the BIP HTTP listener to point to this point to this key store. So moving to slide number 21, you'll see that. This will list all the commands that you will be required to run to let the broker and the BIP HTTP listener know about this key store file. So we'll set the we first need to enable the HTTPS connector, which is a part of the HTTP listener. You would use MQSR change properties command with minus N of enable SSL connector and minus V true. Once the SSL connector, HTTPS connector has been set or has been enabled, then you would point it to the key store file by running MQSR chain properties command with minus O of HTTPS connector and minus N E store file and then minus V the location and the actual name of the key store file. Again, it needs to be able to get into the file, so it needs the password, and you would do that with, again, MQSR chain properties command with minus O of HTTPS connector and minus M key store pass variable, and the value would be the actual password. The 7083 is the default port for HTTPS for the listener, and you can use any other TCP/IP port as long as it's available. You would need to run the MQSR chain properties command and point the listener to this particular TCP port. So you would, again, use the object of HTTPS connector and the dash N port, and the value would be the listener port number. Once you've configured the listener, you will have to restart the broker. But you can, after recycling the broker, you can verify whether those values that you earlier provided, whether those values have taken effect or not. So after recycling the broker, or just to validate it, might be a good idea to run MQSR report properties command on the dash O of HTTP listener with minus A for all, and also a dash on the object HTTPS connector with minus A of all, which will list all the properties that you have enabled in this step, in this foil. Going to slide number 22. So now we created our key store file. We pointed the BIP HTTP listener to this key store, and now you need to extract the certificate from here. Remember, there's a cell sign certificate that was in there that you created with the dash gen key option. So the certificate needs to be extracted out and should be given to the client so that client can import it into its eStore. And the command to export it out of this key store would be key tool minus export, and then minus alias, the Tomcat, minus file, the name of the certificate file. So the certificate having alias Tomcat will be exported as the name of the into the certificate file that you provide here in this option. And from where will it be extracted? The minus key store, the key store file that you provide here. And again, it will need the password, so you provide the dash key pass option. So once you get the certificate file, which contains the exported certificate, you will send the certificate file to the client machine, and it will be imported by the client to its key store, so that the SSL handshake can be accomplished. Going to slide number 23. Again, this discusses the same steps that we discussed earlier, just using the IKEyMan GUI tool. I thought it would be much easier to use IKEyMan because it gives you the GUI, a nice little GUI, and will tell you what you need to export. And you can really see what you're exporting, what you're importing, and how you're managing your key store and certificates. So when you create a new key store file, again, you can go to File, New, or you can just simply click on that button there to create a new key store file. Provide the key store name and the location of the file. Go to slide number 24, please. And then you will provide you will create a new certificate, or you can import it. Again, import the CA certificate that you may have received. Or if you're creating a new certificate and you provide all the options for the certificate, and we'll provide the name or the alias for that, click OK to create the certificate. And let's go to slide 25. And now you have created the certificate. It's there. And so now, in order to extract the certificate, as you can see, the certificates, there's a button called Extract the Certificate. So you just select, in this case, if you look at the GUI carefully, you'll see the personal certificate created here is Test Alias. And you select that, and you just click on the button Extract this Certificate, at which point it will pop up the window, give you the option for data type, certificate file name, and the location where you would want the certificate file to be created. Or you can actually browse. You may already have a certificate file. You can browse to that certificate file, and then import or export the certificate out of this key store into that certificate file. The certificates can again only be extracted in Base64 encoded ASCII data, which is like .arm extension, or binary dir data, which is .der. So when you're using IKEyMan, you will be given those options. Let's go to slide number 26. So if the broker is acting as a service provider and it needs to be configured for mutual authentication, so in mutual authentication, again, both client and server are going to authenticate and validate each other's certificates. Then basically, we can follow the slides again 18 through 23, or actually all the previous slides for the HTTP input and HTTP reply nodes for the server authentication. So with client authentication, all you need is one extra step where you would create the key store and configure HTTP listener to point to this key store, and then finally you would you would provide the server certificate to the client and get the client certificate out from the client. And once you have the client certificate, import it into the broker's trust store, which is the CA certs. So when broker is validating the client certificate, being a server, it will look into the CA certs and it will find the certificate there. When the client needs to validate the broker certificate or server certificate, it will look into its key store, which will contain the certificate that you exported out and sent it to them. The command here would be, one extra step that you can see that you also need to perform is enabling the client auth on the server. So you would run MQSI change properties and minus O object is HTTPS connector. So here the listener, you are letting the listener know that it needs to check for the client, it needs to request for client certificate during SSL handshake process. And you would set the dash N client auth to true, in which case it will, when it receives the certificate, when broker being a server is going through the SSL handshake process, the listener will request for the client certificate. So the trusted certificate from the client must be added to the broker's default key store CA certs, as I mentioned earlier, and you can do that using the command key tool. Again, all you have to do is import. The alias would be the name of the certificate that needs to be added, the name of the certificate file from where it will be added, and the key store in this case is CA certs. You can provide a fully qualified name for CA certs, or you can run this command straight from GRE lib security directory, in which case it will find the file, and provide the password. Again, the password would be changed by default. So going to slide number 27. Again, here we see how we add the client certificate into the CA certs using iKeyMan. Just the way you had opened the other key store, you can go to iKeyMan, open the file, and browse to the CA certs file located under JRE libs. In this case, it was JRE 1 file lib security directory, and you found the CA certs file. Open it, and all you have to do is click on the button Add. When you click on Add, it will pop up the window. You can navigate to the certificate file from where the certificate needs to be imported. Click on that, and it will import the certificate into CA certs. So that is what broker needs when it's doing the mutual authentication, or that's what the HTTP listener needs when it's playing as an SSL server and it needs mutual authentication to be done. Going to slide number 28. So to configure the HTTP input and HTTP reply nodes in the toolkit, there isn't much other than selecting use HTTPS and then setting a path suffix for the URL that sends the request to the HTTP input node. So again, this is in the message flow containing the HTTP input node. You would go to HTTP node properties, input node properties, and all you need to do is select the button and provide the path suffix for the URL. The HTTP reply node does not really have any parameters to be configured. So once you've created the file, you've selected the properties that you wanted for SSL, and you would add the flow to the bar file. Again, ensure in the bar file, by looking at the bar file configure tab, the use HTTPS box is checked for the HTTP input node, and then deploy and confirm that you will see when you deploy this flow, you will see a BIT3132i message in the logs indicating the HTTPS listener has been enabled. So going to slide number 29. This This wall shows a simple test message flow that is being used as a web service provider. You can see it's got an HTTP input node called HTTP underscore test SSL and an HTTP reply node and a trace node in between. So you would configure the broker as per the instructions we discussed earlier, which means if you're doing mutual authentication, you would configure the HTTP listener. Well, regardless of what authentication, you would have to configure HTTP, BIP HTTP listener, and then provide the server certificate to the client in case of, and if you were doing the mutual authentication, you also need the client certificate, and you would import it into CSCert. So that with that, you would configure the broker, you would configure these nodes, and with this particular message flow example, you can just go to the your web browser and just type this URL. The URL being https://, then if it's a local host, then machine name, :7083, which is the default port. If you're using a different port, you would provide the port number for listener, and then the path suffix that you defined in the HTTP input node. You will see an accept the certificate window. A pop-up window will appear which will say accept this certificate. And this is something that you can run as a quick check, to see if your SSL handshake is working and if your HTTP input and HTTP reply nodes are correctly configured or not. The XML, the pop-up window will say XML document must have a top-level element error processing resource. You'll see that in the browser window. Once you've tested that, you're reasonably sure that your SSL configuration on the broker part is okay, and then you can, instead of the browser, you can then point it to the actual whatever other URL, wherever your web service or whoever the client is, and you can change those parameter values based on how you need it or how you want to configure it. Going to slide number 30. This wall again discusses the things one needs to check in case of any configuration problems or if things are not working. It's better to ensure that flows work fine in the HTTP mode only. Normally what we do is if we normally get a customer saying their HTTPS configuration, they're having HTTPS configuration issue, the first thing we want to check is if it works fine in the HTTP mode. A lot of times there's problems. You don't want to get into SSL configuration checks unless you're sure that HTTP flow itself is working fine. So the next step itself is checking the configuration of HTTPS. The other thing to check is that the certificates are part of the correct key stores, and the key stores have been, broker is looking, whatever key store broker is looking at, the certificates are part of that key store. You can, again, as we discussed some MQSR report properties command, you can run those commands to find out which key store is the broker pointing to. You can also, if it's version 6, you can look at the environment variable, see if that environment variable is set or not. Then the certificates should be valid X509. Certificates and key store should be valid JKS, which is Java key store. Once you've checked all this, if needed, we can capture a trace. You can go to slide number 31. When broker is a client, it is useful to capture, after checking all the configuration steps, if the configuration is okay, then we can capture a JSSE trace of Java Secure Socket Extension, along with the execution group service trace. When broker is a server using HTTP input node, you would collect an execution group service trace along with BIP HTTP listener tricks. The instructions to capture the traces can be found. There's on the product support page. You can simply look for EG service trace, or you can look for DSSE trace. You'll find the instructions right there. The tech notes have been published a while back for these. If you're having any issues, you can also email me and I'll send the instructions to you. But basically, these are the different set of traces that you would that you would capture based on what kind of configuration you have. Going to slide number 32. So this slide also has some additional resources that would help you in having a better understanding on this subject. There's some useful presentations out there which you can also consult along with this one. And this also marks the end of this session. Thank you again all for joining. Any questions are welcome at this point. I'm going to hand over back to Elijah.
Thank you, Vivek, for a great presentation.
And we'll hear first from Dewey Donovan with IBM.
Hi, Vivek. Dewey. Question is, on the HTTP input nodes, is there a mechanism for selecting the private certificate that will be used, and likewise on the HTTP request node in mutual authentication mode? Can you select from a variety of personal certificates to use?
Unfortunately, no. I think, let me repeat the question. I think if I'm understanding correctly, you're asking if there's any way to select a certificate among a bunch of certificates that are in the key store. Is that?
That's in the trust store. That's correct.
Or in the trust store, right. No, unfortunately, no. The broker is not able to do a select on one particular certificate out of bunch from the key store or trust store. If you have a CA certificate, then that would be the only one that needs to be imported into the key store. If you're creating a self-signed certificate, again, that would be the only one. So the broker at this point only supports one particular certificate for key store.
And we'll take our next question from Chen Yang with Chrysler.
Hi. How do I get hold of this presentation?
This presentation will be available on the product support webpage, on the WebSphere Message Broker product support webpage. The Tech Exchange webcast will be available, I think, in the next 2 days. The foils are already available out there. The recording will be made available in the next day or two.
Oh, okay. So you mean the slides are already there?
Yes, they are already present there, yeah.
Okay. It's in WebSphere Message Broker, the support webpage?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
And next we'll hear from Prakash with JCI.
Hi, Vivek. The question is, the client certificates, on what location we need to put it on default, like if I'm on Windows or on Linux?
When the broker is a client or when...
When broker is a server and a client has to communicate.
Well, then whoever the client is, the client needs to be pointing to the correct key store. You know, just like you're pointing broker to the key store, you know, either doing some configuration or if you're using CA search. But the client, it's basically a responsibility on the client end on where the client looks for its key store and, you know, how it finds the certificate in there.
On Windows, what would be the default path?
It would depend on what client it is. If it's broker, then... The broker will look.
No. Like broker is a server, and a different Windows machine has to connect to the broker. The client certificate on the client side, what location it should be kept?
Is the client also a message flow or a broker?
No. It's just a MQ port, MQ client.
So then it would be wherever MQ's key store is. I I mean, or whatever application that is being, that is acting as a client, that application needs to decide where it, you know, that application would know where the client is, whether it's Windows or, you know, whatever. It's a different application, right? It's not broker.
No, not broker, correct.
So then it would be the other application, you know, based on what application you use, it would have a different, it would have a different location and a different key store. I don't know if that helps.
But suppose if the MQ client, what would be the default path where I would put the, I mean, just if you know it on your head right now.
If it's an MQ client, I'll have to look into where is MQ, you know, where is MQ looking by default. I don't have the exact path. I mean, I can look it up for or I can check with someone from MQ support.
Okay.
If you email me, I'll probably be able to
okay.
forward your question to the right person, or at least forward you to the right person.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, that is star one if you have a question today. And we'll hear next from William Brown with Wachovia.
Hey, Vivek.
Hi, William.
Yeah, my question is around in the presentation on slide 15, where you talk about the IBM Java options environment variable. I'm trying to, we don't have that set. Now our CA certs file is in the default location.
Right.
And our keys, but our key store is in a different location. And I set the MQSI set properties to, you know, to point the broker to the key store and give it its password and all that. But I'm not sure what the role of the IBM Java options.
So in this case, you know, the IBM Java options, if you're using HTTP request node and you're using broker as a client, but you want mutual authentication, which means you want to validate the, you want to provide a certificate during SSL handshake. You know, broker, a client authentication is in default. So the default part, broker being a client will request a certificate from the server application. Server will provide it. It will look into the CA cert, see if the certificate is there and validate it. And now the next step is for the broker to provide the certificate to the server. The certificate, where will it find the certificate? The certificate will be in the key store, and the key store, you mean, the broker needs to know which key store to look at and, you know, where to pull the certificate from. The only way broker would know is if you export that variable, and that would point the broker. I mean, you may have like five different key stores on your machine. And, you know, broker will be confused if you don't have any environment variable, if you don't tell the broker where to look for, and, you know, if the broker is configured for mutual authentication, with that variable, it will point to that particular key store, point to, and get into the file using that password, and get the certificate out from there, and will give it to the server during SSL handshake.
Okay, so is it a normal practice to use the same key store, you know, for my flow that's going to be doing, you know, that's going to be functioning as a requester, to use the same key store as what we use for the server, you know, for HTTP input mutual auth?
You mean like CA certs?
Well, okay, we have CA certs set up
okay.
so that when we have clients coming in,
right,
they access that.
Right.
And if we want to have client auth equals true,
correct,
then they also have to point to the key store, don't they?
Yeah, remember, with client auth true, your broker is a server. It's not an SSL client. So you're using HTTP input and HTTP reply node. And in that case, any external clients have provided you their certificates will go to CA cert.
Yeah.
But now broker, being a server, will have to has to provide the server certificate as a part of SSL authentication. And that part is done by HTTP listener.
Okay.
And that HTTP listener, when you set the client auth to true, it will request for the client certificate. But regardless, the HTTP listener, you remember we discussed MQSI chain properties and we enabled the HTTPS connectors.
Okay.
So those are the commands that you would run on the listener, and you would point that to a particular key store, and that key store will contain the XD's external client certificate. So the listener, you know, when your SSL handshake is taking place, the listener is getting into, is looking at its properties, finds out which key store does it need to point to, go to that file, finds out what password it needs, get into the file using the password, pulls out the certificate, and sends it to the client. Client authenticates it by looking into its key store, and if it's there, then it validates, and then, you know, any further SSL handshake cycle.
Okay, I got that. And so in order to do for the HTTP request, if I want to do mutual auth where the server that I'm sending my request to says, hey, I'd like to see your public key cert.
Right.
Then I need to tell HTTP requests where to go to get that.
Yes, and that would be done by that environment wizard.
Okay. And is it a normal practice to have the servers use that server key store as the place where I'm going to point this variable?
Is it a normal? Can you repeat that question again?
I understand that I could actually have my HTTP properties,
uh-huh,
the HTTP listener,
okay,
point to one key store, and I could have this guy point to another key store.
Gotcha, right.
But is it a normal practice to have both of these point to the same key store?
I would actually not encourage having the same key stores for both. I would keep the two key stores separate. One is being pointed to by the listener process. The other one is being pointed to by the broker DSS E code, which is by setting that environment variable.
Right.
So in either, you know, the two, if we keep the key stores different, that would be better in my opinion.
Okay. And so that implies we'd have two different certs.
That's correct. Right.
Huh.
Two different, when you say two different certificates, well, not necessarily. You can have the two certificates, the certificates imported into, you can have the same certificate imported into the two key stores. The certificate from HTTP, when you're setting BIP HTTP listener, it's a server certificate, so it's the broker certificate that it will provide, right? And with HTTP request, you have the JSS E code. Now, you may be using the same certificate, but you would be using two key stores. Is that what your concern is? So you're using two different certificates?
Well, this I'm sorry, this is going to reveal my ignorance. This is the first time I've heard about the IBM Java options variable, and we've been running our broker for a while. I'm just trying to figure out what I need to do to get it straightened out.
If you are using HTTP request node with mutual authentication,
probably we're not because,
mm-hmm,
we don't have this variable set.
Right. So I mean it would seem to me that you may have HTTP request node, but you're using it for default, with default server authentication only.
Right.
And you know, in which case you would only use CA search file and not if. So the environment variable will be needed by the broker. Otherwise, the JSSE code, which manages the HTTP request node SSL authentication, will have no way to find out which key store does it need to look into to get the certificate.
Right. Okay. Okay. Oh, good. Learned
okay.
something.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Subhahi Ghosh with IBM.
Hi, Vivek. I'm calling from JCI.
Hi.
Yeah, just to let you know that we are using 6.0.2 version of Message Broker.
Okay.
And we're using HTTP request node. So my question is, like, can we make it asynchronous call with HTTP request node?
Can you make an asynchronous call? Can you elaborate a little bit?
Right. When we send a request via HTTP request node, broker will wait for the response back, right?
That is right.
Yeah. Instead of that, if it can be like fire and forget kind of scenario. So whenever that response will come, broker will not wait for that. Because I know in 6.1, there is a node called SOAP Async Request Node.
Right.
So which can make that asynchronous call. But in 6.0.2, using HTTP Request Node, it's always synchronous call, right?
With HTTP Request, yeah. In version 6, and especially with HTTP Request, it would be when you send a request, requesting for the web service, it will wait for a certain period of time from the service provider to get the information that you need, the web service endpoints or whatever. And so if you don't get it, then you'll see a timeout error.
Right. My question is, can it be avoided? Like, why in 6.1 IBM has come up with SOAP asynchronous request node?
I think that's a different node, though. With HTTP request node, I don't think even in version 6.1 you don't have that option. It's a different node. I mean, the SOAP nodes were included in version 6.1 as new features, and they have different set of properties. So if you don't want to use that, it would be restricted to not using SSL if you use the SOAP nodes.
Right. So that means in 6.0.2 we cannot make it asynchronous call, right?
I don't know of any way you can send a request and forget about it. If it will wait for a response, if it doesn't get it, it'll give you a timeout. If there is any way you can avoid it, I don't know off the top, but I can find it and I can let you know.
Okay.
You can email me. My email ID is listed on the first page of the presentation. Just email me and I'll forward your question, your response.
Sure. My next question is, like, since we are talking about web service using broker,
right.
There are three aspects in web service security, like authentication, integrity, and you can say confidentiality.
Right.
So is there any way that we can implement all these three aspects without HTTPS?
HTTPS is a way to do that, actually. No other way I know of that will get you all. These are the things for which SSL, has been implemented. So I don't know if any other way there's any other protocols that you can use. The thing SSL and TLS are the only ones that the broker supports.
Yeah, the reason behind this I'm asking is in 6.1 there's a sample provided with that product that is for that implementation of integrity within the message.
Right, right. I am familiar with that. As far as version 6 is concerned, I can tell you that there is no other way. Now with version 6.1, if you're talking about all the different aspects, you want to cover all the different aspects of SSL or the security that SSL provides, then SSL would still be the only way. I know the sample you're talking about, it also has some limitations. I don't want to get in there because that's outside the scope of this, but again, if you send me an email, I'll provide you with the information that you want.
Okay. And my next question is, like, in 6.1, they have provided, like, SOAP input, request, and reply. Even if you have HTTP request, reply, and input,
Right.
They have come up with new nodes for SOAP.
Right.
So is there any reason behind it? That
there is advantages of SOAP nodes. Again, the scope of this presentation revolves around HTTP nodes, but SOAP nodes, there is a limitation. You cannot configure them for SSL, but there are some added advantages. I know in the information center we list some. If you look at the SOAP nodes, you'll certainly find those.
Okay.
If not, then again, ping me or email me, and I'll point you to the right URL.
Right. And my final question regarding the debug.
Right.
Something is happening. Like normally, if we have normal message flow where we have MQ input node, we can stop the flow and grab the message. That way you can tell, okay, we received the message.
Right.
But if we are using HTTP input, is there only option that by looking at the trace to identify whether broker has received that request or not?
Well, the trace more is along the lines for capturing the internal calls for SSL handshake. You can certainly use the debug, the debugger, broker debugger. That's it's not that it won't work with HTTP nodes, but the debugger only tells you what's happening within the message flow. It will tell you what it has received, or it will tell you based on the breakpoints that you set. With the trace, we get to see more of internal calls. We let's say you're getting some error, and with the trace we find out on what call or which particular call it is failing. So it gives us more ideas. So traces are certainly a more helpful technique, but that doesn't erase the fact that you can use debugger as well.
Yeah, because sometimes in production environment we don't use that traceability on. So how to debug then, let's say something fail or we haven't received that request at all in broker.
Right.
In production environment, how do you know, what's wrong? Like whether it has been actually sent from the web service provider or something wrong in between?
Yeah, normally we do a pretty good job in logging those messages in syslogs. So, if it's production, we tend to avoid running any kind of trace or even debugger with unless it's needed. Unless our logs indicate what is happening, or if the logs don't indicate what is happening, then we may go to the next step of rerunning that message, and either run the debugger. Sometimes debugger itself also may not be as helpful. In that case, we would go to the next level, which is tracing.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure. Thanks.
You're welcome.
And we'll take our next question from Suraj Basai with Cognizant Technology Solutions.
Hi, Vivek.
Hi, Suraj.
I have a question, suppose if I have configured the HTTP input nodes to use SSL, what tools are available to test this flow?
As I provided an example in the foil, you can use a web browser. Now, if you will be checking the configurations again based on some of the steps we discussed, there's tools like iKeyman or Key2. These are the tools that you can use to configure the SSL. As far as checking the SSL is concerned, or checking your flow, there's no other tools available as such. You can use some third-party tools. There's if you're using HTTP input node, you can use Internet Browser, like in this example that we talked about. If you're using HTTP request, you can use Net tool. There's some third-party tools available out there that you can use. There's nothing really provided with the broker product as such.
With the broker product, I see that there's a test client provided, right? But with that, I can test for the HTTP functionality. But for the HTTP, yes, it doesn't provide any, it always defaults to HTTP.
Right. That jar file, the test client is mainly for HTTP use. It's not for HTTPS. Like I said, for checking HTTPS, you would want to make sure first HTTP itself is working. I mean, that's how you move forward, but there isn't really any tool after that we shift with the product.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
And we'll take our next question from Reddy Calagiri with Johnson Controls.
Hi, Vivek. This is Reddy.
Hi, Reddy.
Hey, I was looking at slide number 15, the IBM Java option. You have an option of storing a key store and then key store password within the environment variable, right?
That is right.
And what is the difference between this and MQSI change property that we execute for key store file and key store password?
The MQSI change, you mean the next slide, slide 16?
Not slide 16, I think it's before that. We have MQSI change properties, I think it was on server side.
Okay, one second. Let me go to that page. So with for the environment variable, we're really
slide 21.
Okay, so slide 15 and slide 21.
Yeah.
So okay, let me go to slide 15. Let me go to slide 21. Okay, slide 21 is for HTTP input and HTTP reply node. This is configuring your broker listener for HTTPS. The slide 15 is HTTP request node, which does not use listener. So it will, your broker uses JSSE code, Java Secure Socket Extension, and that needs to point to the key store. In slide 21, you're using BIP HTTP listener, and MQSI chain properties can directly be executed on the listener.
So it's running locally on the machine, Ian? When you say listener, it's only connecting from a different systems, right? Different machines.
Well, when I say listener, I mean the BIP HTTP listener component of the broker.
Right.
And it's still the HTTP listener that is, and it's the, all the parameters are would still be accessible to the listener. So it would be on the local machine. Now, if you're using the environment variable, if you're using HTTP request node, it does not use listener at all. It does not use listener for SSL authentication. So in that case, how will you let the broker know which key store to pick up?
Okay.
And that is why you would set those variables.
Yeah, and when we specify the password, does it encrypt the password, or it's whatever we type it here, it will show to?
Actually, that's one of the disadvantages. I think there's still things that need to be worked on in this area. The password is not encrypted; it will appear as it is.
Okay, and yeah, one more thing on the slide 21 is here we have to give the password. The password file or the password, like MQSI change properties,
right.
You have to give the password for the key store file.
For the key store pass. Option.
Right. And do we have an option of specifying a file name? Because in our environment, we get a certificate from our security team, and they usually don't reveal the password to our team. So they can provide a file for us. Do we have an option to provide a file instead of specifying a password?
That's a good question. The answer is I'm not sure. If there is a way or there is not, I will have to check with level 3. There's no other options that and key store pass will certainly not look into the file. It probably will have to be, if it can be done, we understand the requirement that you're posing, but if there is a way to do it, I don't know. I think I will have to check with level 3.
Yeah, because dev and QA usually they give, but password for the production environment they usually don't give because of some SOX requirements.
Okay.
So they'll give the file to us, but again we have to specify the file for this key store password, and I don't think we have an option to do that now.
As it looks like, no, but doesn't mean that they won't be in future, or that doesn't mean that they're that is something that cannot be provided. I can look that up. I can check it with change team and let you know.
Okay, that would be great.
Please shoot me an email on that.
Sure. Thank you. That's all.
And our final question comes from Ravi Poli with Johnson Controls.
Hi, Vivek. This is Ravi Poli. Just got a quick question. does the broker support both HTTP and HTTPS at the same time running on two ports?
Depends what functionality you are using. If you're using HTTP request node for SSL and HTTP input node, then yes, because HTTP listener does not use, I mean, HTTP input node would use listener, and HTTP request node will use, you know, your JSS code if you want to configure it for SSL. Now, if you're saying, can HTTP listener be configured for two different ports, then no, HTTP listener is a single component, can only be configured to listen on one particular port.
So it'll either work with HTTP or HTTPS, but not both.
That is correct.
Okay.
Unless you have two brokers created on the machine with two different HTTP listeners.
Okay. Is it a best practice to implement the IE01 fixed pack that you provided? Is there any suggestions available from IBM for that? If you want to implement both HTTP and HTTPS.
The IE01 fixed pack?
This is the proxy servlet for the HTTP nodes.
Oh, you mean the support pack?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry, that's support pack, yeah.
Yeah, with the support pack, I believe with the support pack, you can set those options because you're not using the internal Tomcat server or the internal HTTP listener.
Okay, and understanding a bit about the internal listener, so the listener is nothing but a Tomcat server.
That is correct. That we ship with, yes.
Okay. Yep. That's all I have.
Okay.
And we have no further questions at this time.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Port Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Vivek, for presenting today.
Thank you, everyone.